Welcome to the online message, a message very similar that we bring on Sunday morning in church. And this week, I entitled my message, Fool's Gold. And our scripture text is out of Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. Now, just a reminder, the Beatitudes also is in chapter 5 of Matthew. This is also the Beatitudes in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Now, as I read and you read the Beatitudes in this translation, you'll notice that they're a little different than the ones in Matthew 5. Spiritually, they are the same, but they did not have tape recorders and videotapes and all of that. So when they were writing the Gospels, especially the Gospel writers that we think of, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote it by their scribes, what they heard. So with that, I won't spend no more time giving you all of that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 17 through 26, New Living Translation. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is given to you. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for the time will come when you will laugh with joy. God blesses you who are hated and excluded and mocked and cursed, because you identify with me, the Son of Man. When that happens, rejoice. Yes, leap for joy, for the great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were also treated that way by your ancestors. What sorrows await you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now. What sorrows await you who are satisfied and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger is before you. What sorrows await you who laugh carelessly, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. Verse 26. What sorrows await you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised false prophets. May God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding of his holy and precious word. But where did the term fool's gold come from anyhow? There is a gentleman by the name of Sir Martin Frobisher, who was an English adventurer. He was a seafarer, an explorer, who thought that he struck gold on the Baffin Island in what we now know as Canada. Excited and beaming with pride, he mined and he brought back 1,350 tons of his prize to Queen Elizabeth in 1578. Only to be told that his beautiful, sparkling find was not gold, but in fact it was pyrite mixed with other minerals into the ore. He was labeled a fool, and he was forced to forego the royal seafaring grants. Columbus and some of the other people back then, they would get grants from the king or the queen to go out and explore. And, of course, we know Columbus is responsible for finding the North America continent, or continent, rather. Anyhow, I regress. Today, scientists have found that usually where there is pyrite, there lurks gold somewhere nearby. In fact, even in the crevices and the niches of pyrite can hide a secreted or a small bit of gold. Not enough to make you rich, but the evidence is there. The tiny, tiny pieces of imperfection in the crystalline structure of the pyrite typically can harbor microscopic bits of gold. Difficult to extract, but undeniably they're there. So the mineral pyrite looks so much like gold that it has been called fool gold from prospectors as long as people have searched for gold. Now we know it's been there all along. We just didn't know how to recognize it, hidden away under all that ore. Hiddenness is the ultimate melee of our humanness. We hide for various reasons, don't we? Sometimes we feel we've done something wrong, and we want to keep it secret deep down within our souls. And sometimes we feel we must put a good face to the world, even when we feel horrible, hurt, embarrassment, or ashamed. Sometimes we just feel we have no sacred worth as people. You see, in all these cases, our true nature can be obscured by the glitter and the dullness of the mask we wear. No pun intended when we are wearing these masks today, in order to appear righteous or acceptable. Many times the masks we wear are the ones that we construct ourselves. Either to keep others away or help others feel that we are worthy. Look at us, even if we don't believe it ourselves. But our true nature and our true righteousness remains after the glitter or the dirty oil. Oil could be oil, dirty oil, but it's really ore when it's removed. You know, when you purify gold or silver, you know, they heat it all up and all the impurities come to the top and they're cleaned away. But we have been created and endowed with a beauty of worthiness. Not worldliness, but worthlessness. You're valuable. I'll put it that way. You know, I get some of these English words all tied up sometimes. We all have it within ourselves to become the best version of ourselves that God knows that we can be. And we all have in our very core the potential of exquisite beauty and the acknowledgement of true worthiness. You are worthy, O Lord. Yeah. But we need to acknowledge that part of us inside, even if we don't feel covered in the mistakes of our past. But you say, "Preacher, how can I find this and get in touch with this part of myself? How can I feel I am more than what my life has become?" Well, this is where God comes in. God, a holy God that we serve, created in His image, is in the business of restoration. Now, you not be able to see your original beauty and the value hiding within you, but God can. And your relationship with God can be transformative. And it can bring you out of hiding and reveal your inner beauty and worthiness. Even me. So when you allow God to remove your outer layers of hiddenness and show you in your true image, it'll revitalize your weary spirit. It'll open your eyes to your sacred worth. And you'll be all shined up and you'll be restored. And the dirt and the grime will be chipped off of you so that you will shine with the glory you were born with. So when you are in tune with God, you're always golden. You know, the golden child, you hear a lot about that. Well, you're one of God's golden children. And once you see your worth, it's easy. It's so much easier to see the worth and the beauty in others. How many precious and overlooked gems are there in the world who believe that they're only pyrite, an imitation of others, never being able to reach their true potential, that the person that they could possibly become. Wow. How many valuable people are out there who see themselves as others see them, only as cheap pyrite, when in reality they have a heart of pure gold? Wow. There's a lot of them. There is a lot of them. So how often do we overlook people in their real potential because they have understood themselves as hopelessly devoid of any value inside? How many of us have overlooked the true value of others because they've been distracted by the fakery of a glittery world instead? Well, today we celebrate Valentine's Day. I know it's tomorrow, but we in the church celebrate it today. I want to celebrate those overlooked gems of the world, those beautiful souls who have failed to see their own beauty, who have been labeled unworthy by others. who suffer in silence, feeling they have no use in the world, who don't know their value in God's eyes. In the story of our scripture today, the ill and the infirm, the cast out, the discouraged, and the depressed all came to Jesus, hoping to be healed. The way he healed them that day was not to change who they are, but to reveal who they are and tell them that they're valuable in God's sight and that God sees who they are on the inside. No matter how we bow down and how we get down, how we hit bottom, that they may feel right now that God celebrates each and every one of them and calls them worthy inheritors of God's kingdom. There's an old, well, I guess they would call it like a parable, but it's an Eastern tale. And it's about a woman who takes her two clay jars to the river each day to bring back water to her home. Each day she fills both jars, but one jar had a small crack in the side and in the bottom, so all the water in the jar gradually spills out as she walked the long way home. One day, frustrated, the second jar apologized profusely to the woman, saying, "You should not bother with me. I am futile to you, and I cannot even hold water. Every day you fill me up, and I spill the water out before you even get home." Oh, the woman answered, "You are by far futile. Look around you. Every side of the path you see is beautiful flowers that have grown up because each and every day you have watered them. You have different purpose, but you are so beautiful in value." She's seen what the jar could not see. And often we as people cannot see in ourselves what God sees in us. We see our brokenness, but God sees our value. And all the while it's been there because we have been created in the image of God. That image is seared into our hearts at the moment of birth. Boom! At conception. We get that put into us. And then when we come into the world at our birth, we are filled with God's grace, and our value is there. Oh yeah, we only see the need to be reminded how valuable we truly are. Oh yeah, we're just going to, well, I'm valuable. But you look at the Asian tradition. Some of the most valuable and expensive pottery is in the style of art called kintsugi. In the art of kintsugi, the artist takes broken pottery, ceramic, bone, china, and sears the people together anew with liquid gold. You've seen some of that pottery. They're beautiful, resulting in patterns that are exquisitely beautiful and entirely unique. Each one is different. Each one is an artistic creation. In that way, that's the way God sees our lives. For every mistake we lay at Jesus' feet, we receive the mending of our heart by the artist of life, with the beauty of his hand. Upon restoration, we literally shine with the light and the luster of God's mercy and grace. Now this is true. This is good news of the gospel. Our mistakes, our handicap, our weaknesses, our lot in life, they're not death sentences for us, but opportunities for God to create within us something unique and beautiful, so that when others look upon us, they see that magnificent God's glory and love. You know, we all have challenges in our life, and I always like to say, thank God that he was in the rebuilding business, we in the renewing business, environmental business, whatever, because he continues to renew us with his love and grace. But God doesn't change us. But what God does is reveal and restores us, renewed us. God has already created us to be amazing, cast into the glorious image of the image of God Almighty. Oh, we're not God, but we are created in the image of God, and God only needs to help us to see who we truly are, so that our lives can live as we were truly intended. That's why His Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world, to show us the glory of God, but also how God can transform us and let us lead a life of wonder and grace in this world with the promise of eternal life. So today, rejoice, be happy. No matter what your condition is on the inside, you are golden, because God has declared you not only worthy, but exquisitely beautiful. Beautiful are the feet that carry the good news. Beautiful are the people who gather to worship the Lord. I am so happy and so proud to be a part of a society that recognizes God declaring us worthy. Not only worthy, but beautiful. Amen. Well, I hope and pray that you're having a good Valentine's Day, or come together, or have a spouse or a good friend, or, you know, in the spirit of the Saint Valentine, the patriarch, saint of love, pray that you share your love with somebody and let somebody share their love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.